بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. ما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So today is lesson number 41. It's the 41st lesson in the series on this book, Al-Ubudiyya, Servitude by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. So in the previous lesson, we were looking at the issue of the causes, the created ways and means that Allah has put within His creation. And we said that there is nothing which is independent and free of any need except for Allah Azza wa Jal. And as for everything else in the creation which He has made to be a cause, then it can never ever be an independent cause, right? It needs other things. So we gave some examples, like a seed by itself. You can't put a seed on the windowsill and expect it to become a plant. It needs water, and it needs sunshine, and it needs the soil, you know, and so on and so forth, right? So everything in creation is of this nature. There is no cause in creation except that it needs another cause. And as for Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Al-Ghani. He is the one who is free of all needs. And this shows that only He has the right to be worshipped, and only in Him can all trust be placed. Right? The trust of the heart can only be directed to Allah alone, like the absolute trust. Right? So He is the only one worthy of worship. And so this discussion was in this whole context of the issue of Islam. What is the meaning of Islam? It means submission to Allah Azza wa Jal. And, you know, the foundation of Islam is Al-Ubudiyya, which is servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. And we said that this was one of the evidences, this is in fact one of the evidences, that servitude to Allah, Ubudiyya to Allah, worshipping Allah alone, is the truth. That when you observe and look at everything, you see that everything which is a cause has to have other causes surrounding it for it to function, for it to work. And this is how Allah Azza wa Jal has created the whole of His creation. And as for Allah, He is independent, He is free of all needs, free of all wants. He is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. Al-Hayy, the ever-living, and Al-Qayyum, the one by whom everything is established. Al-Qayyum, the one by whom everything is established. And He requires none to establish Him. So after that discussion, we moved on to Ibrahim, alayhi salam. We mentioned, Abraham was mentioned, and how this was his religion. And he was sent to people who used to worship the stars, the sun, the moon. And we mentioned something from the Quran of his debates with them, of his debates with his people, and how he argued against them to show the futility of their worship of the celestial bodies and the stars. And so today's lesson starts from this point. We're continuing to discuss the position and the status of Ibrahim, alayhi salam. And in this respect, we finished in the previous lesson, if you remember, we finished with a verse of the Quran. The verse of the Quran was the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. Those who believe and do not confuse or mix their belief with oppression. with dhulm, with oppression. This is in chapter 6, verse number 82. Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse number 82. This verse was revealed after, this verse comes after it mentions the story of Abraham, right? So after mentioning the story of Abraham, this verse comes after that. Those who believe and do not mix, do not mix their belief with oppression, they are the ones who have security, and they are the ones who are rightly guided. Now, when this verse was revealed, the companions, when they heard this verse, it became very difficult upon them. And they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, O Messenger of Allah, which one of us is there who does not mix his faith with oppression? Which one of us is there who does not mix his faith, his iman, with oppression, with dhulm? And they thought that the oppression mentioned in this verse refers to sin, sinfulness, right? This was what they assumed. And so they came to the Messenger of Allah, they said, وَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَيُّنَا لَمْ يَلْبِسْ إِيمَانَهُ بِظُلْمٍ. O Messenger of Allah, which one of us does not mix his faith with oppression? So then the Messenger of Allah, he clarified to them that the oppression that is intended in this verse is shirk. So he said, إِنَّمَا هُوَ الشِّرْكِ أَلَمْ تَسْمَعُوا إِلَىٰ قَوْلِ الْعَبْدِ الصَّالِحِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. He said, indeed, this is shirk. This oppression mentioned here is referring to shirk. Have you not heard the speech of the righteous servant, meaning Luqman? Right, so he said to them, have you not heard the speech of the righteous servant, meaning Luqman? And then he quoted the verse from the Quran, which is from Surah Luqman, chapter 31, verse 13, in which Luqman said to his son, Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Indeed, shirk is a mighty injustice, is a great injustice. So Luqman said to his son, O my son, do not commit shirk with Allah. Indeed, shirk is a mighty injustice. So here in this verse, the Messenger of Allah, he used this verse to explain to the companions that this is not referring to sin, as you presumed. Rather, this is referring to shirk, because shirk is an injustice, right? To associate partners with Allah Azawajal and to worship other things besides Allah is the greatest injustice, right? To claim that Allah has a rival or a partner or an equal who deserves to be worshipped or who is given worship, this is the greatest injustice, right? And all other forms of injustice, they stem from this injustice. Right? So shirk is a mighty injustice. In other places in the Quran, as Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, he said that anyone who chooses other than, you know, the deen of Islam and the worship of Allah is someone who fools himself, makes a fool of himself. Right? So the companions then understood what this verse actually means, and it relieved the stress from them, because they thought, well, everybody sins. How can, you know, if everybody sins, how can this verse not apply to us? Right? So we will therefore be destroyed, because we are always mixing our iman with oppression. So when the companions heard the Messenger of Allah explained to them the correct meaning of this verse, then they were relieved. So this verse comes after the story of Ibrahim al-Islam, because those people of Abraham fell into this very thing. They mixed their iman with oppression by worshipping the stars, worshipping the sun, worshipping the moon, and you know, they had philosophical reasons to do that. They believed that somehow the stars or the celestial bodies, they coincide with events upon the earth, and you know, they relate to events upon the earth, and major events and happenings like famines and droughts and war and success and things of that nature. And so they began to venerate them and things of that nature. And this is one of the two types or two ways that shirk entered into the sons of Adam. Right? One is the worship and veneration of the celestial bodies, and the other is exaggeration and veneration of righteous people. These are the two ways that people get misguided away from true religion. One is to venerate and exaggerate in righteous, pious people until they become taken as deities and gods which are worshipped. And the other one is veneration or awe of the celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, you know, and to venerate them. And, you know, this is the other route. So Nuh alayhi salam was sent to the first type of people, and Abraham was sent to the second type of people, right, who were star worshippers. So after this, Ibrahim ibn Taymiyyah says, wa Ibrahimul Khalil, Imamul Hunafa, al Mukhlisin, haythu bu'itha wa qad tabaqa al arda, deenul mushrikeen. So he said, Abraham al-Khalil, who is the friend of Allah, he is the imam, he is the leader of the Hunafa. The Hunafa are those who only turn to Allah exclusively in worship. Right? These are the Hunafa, they only turn to Allah exclusively in worship. So he is their imam, meaning that he is their leader. Of the sincere people who turn only to Allah. And Allah sent him when the earth had been filled with the religion of the polytheists, with the religion of people who were worshipping other things besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he mentions the verse in the Quran, قال الله تعالى وَإِذَا ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال أحد الظالمين. He said when Abraham was tried by his Lord by way of some words which he fulfilled, and he said, Allah said, I am going to make you an imam for the people, meaning a leader for mankind. And then Abraham said, and also from my offspring. So he said, make them also from my offspring. And so Allah said, my promise or my covenant will not be reached by the oppressors. Which means that, yes, from your offspring there will be those who will be made imams, but not for the people of oppression amongst them. Right? So, regarding this whole passage that we've just read and been through up until this point, Sheikh Al-Fawzan, he explains, first of all, about the verse that we mentioned at the beginning, that verse about mixing faith with oppression, that this obviously refers to shirk and not to sins. And as for Abraham, then he was sent in a time of a nation of idol worshippers, and they used to worship, you know, stars, and they used to erect kind of statues and idols to represent them as focal points for their worship. And their king used to be Nimrud, which is Nimrod, right? Nimrod, as you will find in the, you know, in the Bible. And Nimrod was a tyrant who had been intoxicated with the power that he had acquired. And so Ibrahim al-Islam, he debated with Nimrod, and the debate is mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ. Have you not seen the one who disputed with Abraham regarding his Lord? أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. Because Allah had given to him dominion. Right? So Nimrod was a ruler who had been given power, authority, and dominion upon the land. He held tremendous power. And this power intoxicated him, and he believed that, obviously, he did not submit to worshipping Allah. And so he tried to debate with Abraham. And Abraham said to him, as we see in the verse, إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. He said, my Lord is the one who gives life and who takes life. رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. My Lord is the one who gives life and who takes life. So Nimrod said in response, أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ. Right, he said, I give life and I take life. And notice that he did not say, أَنَا الَّذِي أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ. He didn't say, I am the one who gives life and takes life. Right, because Ibrahim as he said, رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. My Lord is the one who gives life and takes life. Right, so Nimrod knew that he can't say that because that would be false. So what he said instead, basically he said, well, I give life and take life as well. He didn't say, well, I am the one, I am the only one who gives. Obviously, he knows he can't say that. So in other words, his argument now is that because I give life and I take life, such as, for example, I can kill a man, so I can take life, or I can starve a man and I can take a life, or I can, you know, release a man from prison and therefore keep him alive. Or I can choose not to kill a man. I can pardon him. And so therefore he basically claimed that he, you know, because he's got some mechanism of control over life and death, over the lives of people, he believed that he therefore resembles or shares with Allah Azza wa Jal in some of his actions. Right, so yes, Allah gives life, takes life, but I do the same thing as well. Right, so therefore, you know, you must obey me and you must follow me, and I don't need to, you know, worship this Lord that you are claiming. And so this is very similar. If you look at the argument of Nimrod, and you see that his arrogance and his haughtiness and his pride, you know, is very similar to the materialists. And, you know, the modern day materialists and the atheists and, you know, people of that, because they believe that they likewise have control over life and death, and they have control over the asbab, or the ways and means that Allah has put in his creation. So, for example, they might claim that, well, we can make it rain. You know, we can cause the rain to descend, or we can cause the rain not to descend, or we can, you know, and that's because they are simply they are simply manipulating the causes and the means which Allah has put in his creation. Yes, it's true, you can, you know, seed rain, and yes, you can you know, do things of this nature, but that you are not the creators of these ways and means. You are just trying to manipulate the ways and means. Right, similar to Nimrod, he did not create life and death and the means and mechanisms for either. He didn't create them. Right? So he doesn't truly give life and take life. That is Allah, the one who created death and life and its means and mechanisms and roots. Right? He is the true giver and taker of life. So in the same way, these people, the materialists, you know, as they study the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and as they manipulate, sometimes for the benefit, it is for the benefit of mankind, and other times it is to the detriment of mankind, right, to further their authority, control, and to drive their arrogance and so on and so forth. This is the same thing that they are basically saying, that we, you know, we have discovered the secrets, and we can, you know, we can manipulate and direct this creation to the way that we want. So we have a similar type of arrogance as you know, Nimrud. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he then responded to him in a way that he forced him to remain true to his argument, right? So he said, قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. So Abraham said, indeed Allah brings the sun from the east, so bring it from the west. Right. So this is also Allah's action. Allah is the one who brings the sun from the east. Now you make it, you know, you make it come from the west. And obviously he's unable to do that because that's beyond his power and beyond his control. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. So Allah said, and so the one who disbelieved was confounded or confuted, right? He was refuted. And, you know, Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. So, you know, in the same way, you know, we would say the same argument to these people who claim that they are masters of the earth or the world. Make the stars go from west to the east, or make the sun come from the west to the east, you know, or turn the ocean water sweet instead of salty. You know, achieve these things if you truly believe that you have, you know, this control and this power and this dominion over the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're not able to do that. You can't do that, right? There are many things that you can't do. At the point of death, as the soul is being taken out, why don't you put it back in if you believe you have control of life and death, right? And so many other things, you know, that we could mention. So this was the argument of Ibrahim alayhi salam with Nimrud, and Nimrud, unlike Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, they become intoxicated with their power and with their wealth and with their achievements, and this, you know, leads them to consider themselves to be deities, worthy of obedience, worthy of worship, worthy of veneration, and so on and so forth. So when he refuted him and falsified his shirk, this is when obviously Ibrahim al-Islam, he left the place and he went on his journeys. As for the verse about Ibrahim al-Islam asking Allah to make him an imam, then an imam is someone who is a leader, someone who is a model, someone who is followed. And Ibrahim al-Islam, he asked Allah to put leadership in his offspring after him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla responded by saying, لَا يَنَالُ أَحْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ, that my covenant is not given or is not reached by those who are the oppressors. So Allah made an exception for the oppressors amongst his offspring, that they will not be imams, they will not be leaders. And you know, this dhulm that we are speaking of, this oppression, is the oppression of shirk, right? And so that's why in the offspring of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we see that there were the Bani Israel from Ishaq, and then Ya'qub, and then his 12 sons, and from them came many, many prophets and messengers. From them Musa alayhi salam, and Suleiman, and Dawood, and others, and their stories are mentioned in the Quran. And they were made as obviously leaders and guides, and because they were people of Tawheed. And as for others, we know that the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, that after the time of Moses, they fell into wholesale apostasy, and they fell into shirk, and they fell into misguidance, and they mingled with the polytheistic nations around them, and they acquired and adopted many of their beliefs and their doctrines and their practices, right? And for that reason, they were punished, and punished on numerous occasions, up until when Allah Azza wa Jalla sent Isa alayhi salam, Jesus alayhi salam, to guide them and to admonish them, and they rejected him. And after that, they were disbanded by Rome. The temple was destroyed, and they were dispersed, across the earth. Right, so on the one side, through Ishaq, there were many prophets and messengers in the Bani Israel. And then finally, on the other side, through Ismail, then from that came the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, another verse mentioned about Ibrahim al-Islam in the Quran is the statement of Allah, Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Right, so this is a verse in Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 120. 16, 120. In this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, indeed Abraham was an ummah. So he described the Prophet Abraham as an ummah. قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ, one who is devoutly obedient to Allah, hanifan, one who is upright and turns only to Allah, walam yaku min al-mushrikeen, and he was not of the polytheists. So we see that in this verse there are four descriptions of Abraham, four great descriptions of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he called him kana ummatan. Ummatan. He called him an ummah. What is the meaning of this word ummah? When we look in the Quran, the word ummah is used with three meanings. There are three meanings to the word ummah. The first of them is al-qudwa, al-qudwa, which means a model or a guide, a model or a guide. One that is followed, one whose model or example is followed, a qudwa. And the second meaning of the word ummah is the common meaning that we all understand, that we all know. It is al-jama'atu min al-nas. It is a group of people. A group of people. This is another meaning of the word ummah. And the third meaning is, it means a period of time. A period of time. Al-fatra min al-zaman. Al-fatra min al-zaman. Which means a period of time. Right? So here in this verse, kana ummatan, it obviously means the first meaning, which is that indeed Abraham was a guide, was a model, and obviously the various other descriptions, qanitan lillah, which means that he was devoutly obedient to Allah, that he was someone who is constant in Allah's obedience. This is the meaning of the one who is qanit, and this is the meaning of qunut. It means to be constant in Allah's obedience. And he also described him with a third description, hanifan, to be hanif. And this means muqbilan ala Allah. Muqbilan ala Allah, which means one who turns to Allah. One who turns to Allah, mu'ridan amma siwah, and who turns from other than him. Right? So this is the meaning of hanif. One who is muqbilan, Allah, he turns to Allah, mu'ridan amma siwah, whilst turning away from those which are besides him. And the fourth description, walam yaku min al-mushrikeen, and he was not of the polytheists. He was not from the polytheists, which means here that he freed himself from the religion of the polytheists and from them, right? Because to relinquish and to free oneself from the mushrikeen, from the polytheists and from their religion, this itself is from the religion of Abraham. It's from the religion of Abraham. Now, why are all these descriptions and why is the mention of Ibrahim al-Islam very important? It is because it gives us as Muslims, it defines for us as Muslims our standing point, you know, our standing point as it relates to those people who dispute with us regarding Abraham, right? From the Yahud and the Nasara, from the Jews and the Christians, right? Because we are most worthy of following Abraham. Abraham is our prophet, and we are followers of his religion. This is his religion. It is al-Islam, al-istislamu lillah, right? It is submission, inward submission, outward compliance, obedience, turning to Allah, turning away from other than besides him, and all of these descriptions. And so, as Ibn Taymiyyah says here, he mentions here that أَنَّ الْقُدْوَى الَّذِي يُقْتَدَى بِهِ الْقُدْوَى, the meaning of the word al-qudwa, a guide or a model, is the one who is followed. We look at him, we look at his example, and we follow him in his example. And he says, وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى جَعَلَ فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِ النُّبُوَّةِ وَالْكِتَابِ, and Allah put in the offspring of Abraham, he put prophethood and the revealing of a book. وَإِنَّمَا بَعَثَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بَعْدَهُ بِمِلَّتِهِ, and indeed he sent prophets after him with his same religion. And then he mentions another verse, قَالَ تَعَالَى ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Then Allah says, addressing the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, then we reveal to you to follow the religion of Abraham, who is upright. And he was not of the polytheists. And then he also said in another verse, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمَ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He said, indeed, the most worthy of people of Abraham are those who followed him, and this prophet, and those who believe. And Allah is the protector of the believers, the ally and the protector of the believers. This is Surah Ali Imran, the third chapter, verse number 68. So we can see from these verses here, now we see that the true followers of Abraham are the ones who actually follow him, and the ones who have these qualities. They are Hanif, right? And they actually follow him in his religion, the religion that he came with and called to. And Sheikh Al-Fawzan, he says that the Jews and the Christians, they claimed that Abraham was one of them, right? So the Jews say Abraham was from the Jews, and the Christians say that Abraham was from the Christians, and they claim to be following his religion. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla here, he falsified these claims when he said, indeed, the people most worthy of Abraham are those who followed him. Right, so those who were the true followers of Abraham in his time, and this prophet, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise those who believe. And you know, in another verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, "Ma kana Ibrahimu Yahudiyan, wala Nasraniyan, walakin kana Hanifan Musliman, wama kana min al-mushrikin." Ibrahim was not a Jew nor a Christian, but he was a Hanif. We know the meaning of the word Hanif. Turns only to Allah, turns away from that which is besides him. And he was Muslim, one who submits to Allah, and he was not of the polytheists. So this means that here Allah Azzawajal has negated that the Yahud and the Nasara have any connection to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Rather, he is free and innocent of them. Right? The deen of the Yahud, Ibrahim alayhi salam never knew it. He never knew it. Because the deen of the Yahud is, you know, it's fabrication. They altered the book. They added things to their religion. They distorted the scripture. They left the way of Musa alayhi salam, right? And they became affected by the nations and their idolatry and their magic, right? They went to Egypt and picked up things from Egypt. They went to Babylon and picked up things from Babylon, from astrology and magic and things of that nature, right? They abandoned and left the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And as for the Christians, obviously, then the same likewise. They are not followers of Abraham at all. Because they likewise followed the nations, they followed Rome, they followed the Greeks in their deification of men. That's what they did to Isa alayhi salam, to Jesus, peace be upon him. And they took him as a deity, and they began to worship him alongside Allah Azza wa Jal. So for that reason, we see that Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين. And likewise, another verse in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تحتدوا. That they, meaning the Jews and the Christians, they say, become Jews or become Christians that you may be guided. قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين. And so our response, the response of the Muslim is to say, rather it is the religion of Abraham, upright, who was upright and was not of the polytheists. Right? So this is Allah commanding us to give our response to the Yahud and the Nasara, who obviously are engaged in disputes and polemics against us and our religion. And likewise, the passage continues. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 135. The verse actually continues, قولوا, say to them, آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط. Say, we believe in Allah and what has been revealed to us and what has been revealed to Abraham and Ismail and Ishaq and Ya'qub and the Asbat, meaning the 12, you know, his 12 sons and the tribes. To the end of the passage. So these verses, again, they explain to us as Muslims where we stand and how we respond to those people who contend with our religion and they claim to be upon what the prophets were upon, Abraham, and, you know, particularly Abraham. And this is our response to them. Basically, we say that we do not distinguish between any of the prophets. We believe in all of them. Something they cannot say. So a Jew cannot say that we believe in all of the prophets, because you rejected, you killed some of the prophets, you denied many of the prophets that came to you, you denied Isa alayhi salam, you rejected him, and obviously you rejected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he came to you as well, right? When he came to you in the Arabian Peninsula, because many of the Jews, the descendants of Harun, of Aaron, the brother of Moses, they were present in the Arabian Peninsula, right? And some of the direct descendants, like Safiya, and the people from the Kohen, the one of the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam, from that lineage, they were present in Medina and the surrounding areas, and they were the scholars of the Jews in that time. And they rejected the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so clearly they can't be believing in all of the prophets and messengers. And similarly, the Nasara, they don't believe in the Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though he is mentioned in their scripture. So they cannot make a claim of following the prophets and messengers. Whereas we as Muslims, We say that we believe in all of the prophets and messengers, even the ones that you follow to claim. And so therefore you have no argument against us. You know, in the issue of prophethood, nor in the issue of revealed books, have you got any argument? Because we are not in dispute that Allah revealed the scrolls of Moses, the scrolls of Abraham, the Zabur of Dawood alayhi salam, the Injil of Isa alayhi salam, you know, and the Torah of Musa alayhi salam. We accept and affirm all of these books in their original form, in principle. And likewise, we believe in all the prophets as prophets and messengers sent by Allah Azza wa Jal. So we do not make these distinctions, as we see in this verse. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. We do not distinguish between any of the prophets, and we submit to him. Right? This is our response to the people of the book. So, Ibn Taymiyyah continues, and he mentions now, so after mentioning these verses, he then mentions some ahadith that we'll finish with, inshallah ta'ala. From those ahadith is the statement of the Messenger of Allah in, as occurs in Muslim. He said, "Inna Ibrahima khayrul bariyah." Inna Ibrahima khayrul bariyah. Indeed, Abraham is the best of creation. Meaning after himself, after the Messenger Muhammad sallam, the best of creation is Abraham. This hadith is in Muslim. So, فَهُوَ أَخْذَلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَهُوَ خَلِيلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He is the friend of Allah the Most High. And so it is established in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَنِي خَلِيلًا كَمَا اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Indeed, Allah has taken me as a khalil, me as a close friend, just as he took Ibrahim as a close friend. This hadith is also in Sahih Muslim. And also, the Messenger of Allah, he said, لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ خَلِيلًا لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا وَلَكِنَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ خَلِيلُ اللَّهِ. He said, if I was to take a khalil, an intimate friend from the people of the earth, then I would have taken Abu Bakr as an intimate friend. However, your companion, meaning myself, meaning the messenger, I am the friend of Allah. Right? I am the friend of Allah, meaning that that is my one intimate friend. So, from these verses, we can see from these hadiths, we can see to emphasize what was in the verses of the Quran, that we see here further testimony from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Abraham alayhi salam had greatest tremendous virtues, and he is the best of the prophets after Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? So it's Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first, then Abraham, then we have the other three prophets, which is which would be Moses and Jesus and Nuh. Right, but after Muhammad sallam, it is Abraham after that, and so after this, Ibn Taymiyyah then mentions a final hadith in which the Messenger of Islam, he said, "لا يبقين في المسجد خوخة إلا سدت إلا خوخة أبي بكر," that no opening in the mosque should be left open except that it is to be closed except the opening or the entrance of Abu Bakr. So what this means is that in the mosque, some of the companions used to have their own entrances from their homes right into the masjid. Right? And so as the Messenger of Islam was coming to the end of his life, before he passed away, he ordered that every opening, every entrance is to be closed except the entrance of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And so this is a clear proof of many things. First of all, that Abu Bakr is the closest of people to the Messenger of Allah. Secondly, this is a clear indication of the leadership of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu after him. Because this is clearly an indication that Abu Bakr will be the imam, will be the leader of the people in the prayer. That's why he left the opening or the entrance from Abu Bakr's home into the mosque to keep it open, whereas all the others should be closed. This is a clear proof that he is to lead the prayer after the Messenger of Allah. Right? So obviously this is a refutation of the Rafida of the Rawafid of the Shia, you know, and their rejection of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So this is a clear proof that Abu Bakr is the closest of people to him, the most beloved to him, and the most superior of the Sahaba, and that he allowed his entrance to the mosque to remain open. So all of this so far to this point, inshallah, we can end our lesson to this point. And this kind of really concludes our discussion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the context of this whole discussion is that the religion of Islam is founded upon al-ubudiyyah, which is servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that servitude to Allah is the foundation of Islam. And there are people who basically try to ascribe to Ibrahim, who have nothing to do with him, because their religion no longer is what their prophets called to, right? They altered that religion, they distorted that religion, they added to it, they took things away from it, they altered the law, and they were affected by doctrines of nations that they mixed with. Right, so they are no longer the followers of the prophets and messengers. So you cannot claim to be, you know, to be upon servitude, upon ubudiyyah, upon istislam, upon submission to Allah Azza wa Jal. And these verses, they give us our response and our standing to the Jews and to the Christians. And you know, we take note of these various descriptions that were given of Abraham al-Islam. He is an ummah. He is qanit, he is hanif, he is not of the mushrikeen, and you know that he is free from polytheism and he's free from its people, right? All of these descriptions, they characterize what we are upon. And these are our statements to those who contend with us, right? We are followers of Abraham and Ismail and Ishaq and Jacob and the 12 tribes. And Moses, and Jesus, and Solomon, and Dawood, right? We don't distinguish between any of these prophets. We're not disputing with you. There's no dispute you have against us with respect to these prophets, nor what they brought of the books, right? You are the ones who are in dispute, as we see in the actual verse. That they are the ones. فَإِنَّهُمْ فِي شِقَاقِ They are the ones who are in dispute. They are the ones who are basically contending. So with that, we can conclude today's lesson at this point, inshallah. And from this point onwards, we will be continuing this discussion of, you know, the virtues of some of the companions and companionship, and you know, issues connected to that, inshallah, in the next lesson. So we'll end the lesson there for today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.